Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
That is why, for you and me today, a huge responsibility is to say, God, I'm going to lift you up because you are, through your Son, Jesus Christ, the culmination.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. As we begin our year-long look at making a difference, Pastor Herron takes us to Paul's sermon in Acts 13 as he shares with us a message called Making a Difference, a New Testament Model.
When you look at the whole of Scripture, you realize that God Himself had a mission and He gave it to us today to fulfill and will continue to fulfill to the day in which He comes to fulfill all of the world and bringing His gospel to every creature. And so this is kind of a foundational groundwork for the next 12 months and where we're headed. I wanted to explain that to you, and I thought no better place to do that than Paul's very first gospel message. Look at Acts chapter 13. Let me just give to you this message that we're not going to read verse by verse. This was the longest recorded message that Paul gave. But I would like to draw highlights for you because I think that, as did Paul, every believer has four responsibilities. Now, the question is, what is those responsibilities? What are those themes? Acts 13, you can pick the story up in verse 13, and we're just going to kind of hopscotch our way through this particular passage from verse 13 ultimately to verse 52 and just draw highlights for you and then application for us today because I think they're important. And this is where you end up finding those expectations and those requirements that, as it was with him, and he was saying, this is what I want to emphasize, I would say to you as well. First of all, you'll find him to make a difference. He exalted God's name. It became a mission that he was exalting God's name. You know what, for you and me today, it's not much different. If we're going to make a difference, as it was with Paul, he exalted God's name. You find in verse 17, he says, the God of this people of Israel chose our fathers. He chose the Jews. And so from really verse 17 all the way down to really verse 38, he emphasizes by exalting the very name of God because he knew that God had chosen the Jews, and he begins walking through their history. And he realized that as that prayer that they prayed before they ever left, as Paul now prays, or really he's preaching, but he's constant in his mode of prayer, knowing that God was overruling and ruling in all the affairs of man. There's a man named Matthew Henry, I think, that wisely made the statement about prayer. He said, though we cannot by our prayers give God information, yet we must by our prayers give him honor. And what wisely this commentator made the statement is so true that many times in our prayers we want to give him information as if he doesn't know all that's going on rather than giving him his honor. And this is what Paul's doing in his preaching. He's giving God honor to realize, God, I'm exalting your name, I'm exalting your work because all that you are have worked through, he mentions in this particular message about verse 18, for the 40 years they suffered in the wilderness. He mentions about the Jews destroying other nations in verse 19. He mentions about the judges that for 450 years, Samuel the prophet, as well as many others, they desired a king. And notice he mentions the history, verse 22, when he, God, had removed him, he, God, raised unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony. And he said, I've found David, the son of Jesse. Notice the phrase, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all of my will. And it's the phrase that's not mentioned about any other Bible character is a man after my own heart. You know, we emphasize here about having a heart for God. You say, was that possible? Evidently, David had a heart after God, and David was used greatly. Does that mean he wasn't a human and a sinner? And we know that not to be true. It's demonstrated in David on the two big events. When you talk to anybody and ever heard of David, they'll tell you, yeah, he was the guy that killed the Goliath, and he's the guy that was killed by a woman. He's the guy that at 17 killed a giant and solved a problem of a nation. He's the same guy that spiritually died when he ended up giving into adultery. And yet this is the guy that is a man after God's own heart because God used David. Fact is, as you move on with this whole message, you end up finding that the whole emphasis of Scripture was that Christ was the culmination of this history. And he was the justifier of humanity. Why did Paul, in his message, talk about history? Because he was leading up to all of that work with David, and he ultimately summarizes it with verse 26. Men and brethren, look at your Bibles, children of the stock of Abraham, talking about the Jews. And whoever among you fear God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. And he documented, verse 27, that the prophets were fulfilled in their words about who he's talking about the resurrection of Christ, verse 28. And though they found no cause of death in him, they desired the Pilate that he should be slain. Talking about Christ, they fulfilled all that was written of him. And he's saying to the Jews, all of this scripture is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He went on to state, but God, verse 30, raised him up from the dead. And that they are witnesses unto the people who, verse 33, we declare unto you glad tidings. This is good news, he's saying. The very word that we get evangelized or the good news of the gospel. Notice that God fulfilled the same unto us, their children, that he raised up Jesus. And let me skip down, if you would, because I think he sums up verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. By him, all that believe are justified from all things. You know why he gave all that history? To realize there's a point in a place that God's going to use all a man's history, and it culminated, the still point in a turning world was the cross of Christ. And he didn't come just to be the fulfillment of all of prophecy that he did, but he was a justifier for you and me in our sin. It's such a joy when you look at history to realize it's not some random events, nor is it going to be that 10 years from now, if God tarries, and we look back on these last 10 years and think, well, some random events, God has orchestrated all of it together for his good. I think John MacArthur says it right when he says, quote, viewing history as purposeless appeals to sinful people since it grants them freedom to do as they want with no fear of accountability to a divine moral judge, unquote. Fact is, and I haven't read much of Tatosky's writings, but there's one particular book expressed in the book called The Brothers Kovamarsko, and I'm not a Russian, but I think the statement made in that book when he says, in this one character, he says, quote, if there's no God, everything is permitted. When there's no God, everything's permitted. It's no problem. And this is why, my friend, when you look at life events and you look at the day-old newspapers or today's newspaper or tomorrow's newspapers, you have to, as a Christian, look at life from God's point of view to realize, you know what? God, you're orchestrating all this. As you did in the past, you will do today. And if we take God out of this picture, then you know what? Man can live any way they want to live with no guilt and no fear and no form of, I'm going to stand before God someday. This is why you have the events going on in the world in which we do, and that is why for you and me today, a huge responsibility is to say, God, I'm going to lift you up because you are, through your Son, Jesus Christ, the culmination. I don't have the time to go into it, but the reality is you step back and look at this text, you'd realize that God, you planned salvation for mankind. And for your own Son, he purchased it with his own blood. And ultimately, the Holy Spirit is the one that's preserving this. You find that in Ephesians chapter 1, so clearly laid out to another group of believers. Because God, you chose for the foundation of the world what was going to happen. And God, you knew that your Son 2,000 years ago was going to fulfill all of the agenda that you had for our world, provide a salvation for all of mankind. They have to choose it. And ultimately, God, you're going to preserve it. That's why I think if Paul here identifies God and who he is, Jesus is who he is, and ultimately in verse 52, he mentions the Holy Spirit as well that was filled with joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, if I can lay that, I would also like to emphasize a second theme and a responsibility that you and I both carry, as Paul mentioned in his first message, literally, that's exalting God's name. But secondly, you also know that there's a difference when we've got to exposit God's word. How do we know if God said this? This is why it draws us, as Paul took the preaching and said, I'm going to end up emphasizing all of who God is found in Jesus Christ, and going to do it by expositing God's word. I'm going to literally take God's word for what it is and study it and see him for who he is. And notice in the passages, he mentions in verse 23 about of this man's seed, God, according to his promise, raised unto us Israel, a Savior, mentioning Isaiah. He mentions in Malachi chapter 3, 5, and when John, verse 24, had his first preached before his coming of the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, John said, I fulfilled his course. Notice, if you would, about verse 27, he mentions about the prophets and being fulfilled. Verse 33, he uses God's word in this message. Verse 33, God's fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he's raised up Jesus again. It was written in the second Psalm, Psalms chapter 2, verse 6. He mentions Isaiah 55 in verse 34 as concerning that he raised him up from the dead. He mentions verse 35, the Psalm in Psalms 22, thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. I say this because you can end up finding churches that have a wonderful point of entertainment. But when it comes to saying, you know what, do we take in God's word and try and explain it to people, that's where it's missing. I think that's why for us we have a deep drive to say, let's take God's word, what does he have to say? In the next 12 months, just a quick overview. When Paul ended up preaching, and really the first 12 chapters of Acts is talking about Peter's message, and then Paul steps onto the scene. But at the same time, there were other men that were also writing letters to others. And at the end of pulling all the Bible together in the canon of Scripture, there were four particular men that God used to put together what we would call the general epistles. These are letters that were written, only 10% of the New Testament, but incredibly important when you take the sum and the whole part to that. There were four men that you would know, and these are people that we're going to look at, and the letters they wrote we're going to study over the next 12 months. We're going to look at the life of Jude. He was the half-brother of Jesus. He wrote a book, one particular chapter, one postcard. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at Jude, what he had to say about the key words of fighting for faith. We're going to look at James, and he's the one who wrote the letter, the five-chaptered book, a powerful book on the faith, engaging of faith, and what that means, and looking at 12 marks of a difference maker over these next months to come. I think it'll be of a help to you. These men said the same emphasis, same themes that Paul did. All of these are non-Pauline books. We're going to look at Peter, who mentioned 1 and 2 Peter, two books, and the emphasis of pain with a purpose and poison in the pew. You'll end up finding as well John, who wrote 1 and 2 3 John. We're going to look at those books and the book of Revelation, all of those with emphasis, and all of those, actually, particularly John's book, and Jude's book, written at a point in which there were many, many people that were not taking God's word and speaking it truthfully. There was much confusion going on. And that's why when you look at Paul, who's preaching, he's emphasizing the scriptures, the scriptures, the scriptures.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.